O Lord, that not only may we receive strength when we come, but together we may form a holy habitation where your presence dwells. As each of us brings our temple into this place, we pray, Jesus, that you may be glorified. We pray, O Lord, that none will go empty today, that each and every one of us will receive something from you, will be blessed by you. Lord, speak to us today. Let your name be exalted in our midst. Speak to every heart, Lord, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And use my tongue as your pen to write and inscribe your words upon the tablet of our hearts. Help me to be hidden, to decrease, Jesus, while you increase. Let the world see you and know that because of you, we are people of light. Help us to shine your light in the world today, that in the thick darkness that is around us that we see every day, that truly there may be a piercing of your light into the darkness. Father, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our strength, but in yours we pray. Amen. 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 God is good. How are we all doing today? Is anybody cold? Okay, maybe it's only me. Praise the Lord. Please don't reduce it, just leave it. I will suffer. Don't turn it. No. Just leave it. Everybody's comfortable. So. Oh, Sister Tom, you're like me, Abby. But everybody said they're fine now. It's going to get there. Okay. All right. While they are working on fixing the temperature, we thank God for the ability to regulate our temperature. There used to be a time when you only had a piece of paper to regulate your temperature. Amen. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah 43. And I'll read from verse 7. Isaiah 43 from verse 7. Actually, let me read from verse 6 so we put it in context. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone who is called by my name, for I have created him, that is humanity. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I have created humanity, humankind. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. This verse of the Bible came to me when I was ruminating about something, you know, of late. I'll try not to make this too long. What I want us to see this morning is that there is a reason why each and every one of us is here today. Brother Shegun could very well be on the tennis courts. Brother Peter could very well be with his gun on the field hunting for his squirrels. You know, Josh could very well be on the basketball courts playing basketball. Brother Debo could very well be in DC doing his business, you know, making more money. My darling wife could very well be, you know, shooking people with needles, you know, and But there's a reason why each and every one of us is here today. We are here not because of tradition. We are not here not because of routine. We are here for a reason. Now, I read this because sometimes we forget to realize the reason why God has put us on earth. My daughter and I, you know, we have this running thing. We just say, you know, sometimes my wife joins us and she asks, what does this mean? She tells me to YOLO, I tell her to YOLO. And Sister Kemi asks, what is YOLO? And I say, you only live how many times? You only live one time. And the life we have come to live here on earth, some people say it's not a dress rehearsal. For those who are not in drama, do you know what a dress rehearsal means? Okay. A dress rehearsal is that you come and practice or rehearse, and then you come back for the main event. In life, there is no dress rehearsal. There's only one event, and it is the main event. And I'm speaking this way because a few days ago, my wife and I were in England. We went for her aunt's 70th birthday. We had a lovely time. You know, for once, we saw the sun in England. So, Brother Shagun knew what I'm talking about. And while we were there, our hosts, a friend, very good friend of mine, whom many of you know, Brother Shagun, you know, I noticed that every evening, he will join. There was a prayer call for one of the sisters in the church. Many years ago, she had breast cancer. The breast cancer left, they rejoiced, you know, came to church to thank God. I think a few months ago, the breast cancer returned, more vigorous than the past. And the doctors have now said that there's nothing else they can do. Pretty much end of life. Brother Kai Odetaniolu, that we have been praying for, I learned a few days ago that the doctor said that there's nothing else they can do. And I began to question, is this all there is to life? You live and you die. And God showed me what I'm just trying to help us to see, that our eyes might be open to. That life is not about living and dying alone. That is part of it. We were all created for a purpose, and that purpose is to reflect the glory of God on earth. To every man has been appointed a time, and once that time is over, the person whose glory you have been reflecting, you will now become a part of him. You will be with him. Remember when Jesus Christ was with his disciples, what we read, when they were asking, you know, where are you going? And Jesus Christ was telling them that, you know, and they said, we don't know. And he said that, I go to prepare a place for you, that what? Where I am, that you may be also. And that is the desire for our God, that where he is, we may be also. Now, what I want to share with you, I said, is looking at the glory of God and we being reflectors of the glory of God, knowing the reason why we have been created. You know, it used to amaze me when I read biographies of very wealthy people, billionaires. And there is a common thread I see in many biographies I've read about of people who had a lot of money and didn't have Christ. There's one common thread I see through each biography, and that is something of emptiness. I don't know why. Well, maybe I know why. But there's that common thread of people who have material wealth in abundance who don't have Christ, emptiness. And I ask myself, why? Why would life be empty with all you have? A.W. Tozer said something. There is a void created in the heart of a man that only God can fill. And there is a void in everybody's life, and we are all trying to fill that void with something as we go on in life. Some people try to fill that void with pleasure. Some people try to fill that void with material. But that void can only be filled by one person. It's a person, not a thing. And that void can only be filled by God. And that is why he said that we have been created for his glory. And not only created for his glory. Do we know, brothers and sisters, that God wants us on earth to reflect his glory that all might see? You know, when we sing songs and we say that the glory, our prayer and desire is that the glory of God might cover the earth as the waters covers the seas, right? How does the water cover the seas? Totally, end to end. And our desire is that the glory of God might cover the earth. How can the glory of God cover the earth when God is not physically here on earth? The only way the glory of God can cover the earth is when we become reflectors of the glory of God. We have been created for the glory of God, that the earth might see and know that God truly exists. One of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 19, it says that, let's all open to it, Psalm 19 from verse 1. Let me read it. Oh, Sister Kemi, can you please read it for us?
The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard.
Please, yet, if you don't mind, can you read it in KJV? Okay. Doesn't sound like the one. You know, when you are used to one version, it sounds somehow. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the earth shows forth his handiwork.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect.
You can stop there. That psalm is a very deep psalm, and if you have time, I will suggest that you do some research to see in poetic form what it's talking about. Now, if the handiwork of God, if what we see around us, the beauty of the world, if we, the sun, the firmament, if everything talks about the greatness of God, in this place I've talked about, you know, how big the work of God is. In, you know, the Bible says that he makes the stars. And that's just one verse, he makes the stars. Where I work recently, I work at the National Science Foundation. There was a big discovery that they had that, you know, it was one of those big things where we're all preparing for. And they announced that they found a black hole in our galaxy. That was the big discovery. It's always been there. When I talk about distance from stars to stars, you know, we measure things in miles. When it becomes astronomical, they measure things in light years. The largeness of the handiwork of God. If you say, how big is your house? You say, how many thousand square meters? If anybody asks you, how big is the universe? Who can answer? What kind of foundation do you have? You know, you have cement. You have, what is the foundation that holds up the universe? Who can answer? How many grains of sand are there in all the earth? Who can answer? I marvel at the glory of God, because when we talk about the glory of God, these are the things we're talking about. His majesty, his infinite power, his beauty. We go from the macro, looking at terrestrial bodies, to the micro. And God created them all. Do we know that within your body, we can touch each other, right? But we are made up, well, the scientists not say it, I don't know. I haven't seen it. We are made up of molecules. Molecules then into atoms and neutrons and protons. And, you know, they found out there are something called neutrinos and quarks and something smaller than that. And all those small, small things from the micro world, we go to talking about universe. You're talking about galaxies, planets. That is how big God is. When my wife and I are traveling up north, one of the things I love doing is going into Pennsylvania, Virginia, you know, all the mountains very early in the morning and just seeing the sun come from beneath the mountains. The beauty of the handiwork of God. You know, many of us may not understand it. When I was on the farm, one of the things I used to imagine, when you see a caterpillar and the design like Ankara, on the body of a caterpillar, you see the beauty and the majesty of this God that we serve. Do you know something, brothers and sisters? This is the same thing God wants us to reflect to the world. This is the same thing God wants each and every one of us to reflect to the world, his glory. His glory meaning his beauty, his majesty, his excellence. Music, as God created it, is supposed to reflect back to God his majesty, his beauty, his glory, so that God will take delight in what he has made. Art, as we know it, when you see a picture which is trying to capture in time something that God has made, is meant to reflect back to God the beauty of God in his glory and his majesty. Do you know what art has turned to today? We went from a time when we had the Picassos, the Rembrandts, and you saw their art being hung on places. You behold the majesty and you are in awe. Today they have something they call modern art. They're making art now with feces, with dead babies, and they call it art. So when anything is devoid of God, the natural progression will be from beauty to ugliness that they call beauty. When you look at a piece of music, many of you might not know, you know, what goes into music. We talk about melody, harmony, rhythm. You hear something like Handel's Messiah. It was said that when that piece of music was in played, the king could not hold himself any longer, had to stand up at the majesty, the glory of the music he heard. What do we hear in music today? It's like tin can, bang, 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 bang. All the things we talked about, counterpoint, melody, harmony, that makes music beautiful, it's no longer there. When anything is devoid of God, it goes from a place of beauty to a place of ugliness that we won't even know is ugly any longer. Because we have never known what beauty is. It was said when the temple of Solomon was being rebuilt, the old men, they were weeping, crying. The young people, they were rejoicing that at least they saw a temple. Because they never saw the glory of the first temple. So they had no point of reference. If the world hasn't seen the glory of God reflected in Christians, how will they know the beauty, the majesty, the glory, the awesomeness of the God we serve? I say this today because we are not just created to mark time. We're not just created to fill space on earth. Whatever we do, let us have it at the back of our minds all the time that I am here to reflect the glory of God. If we are walking, do it with excellence. If you are reading, do it with all you have, not because you want to pass an exam, but because you want the world to see the glory of God in you, that by the grace of God upon your life, you will be the best at what you do. Look at the lives of all the patriarchs of old. Do you know how the Bible described Job? Job was the wealthiest man in the East, in awe of Chaldeans. Abraham was not a poor man by any means. Moses, he lived in the palace before he went into the wilderness. Joseph, he lived in the wilderness before he went to the palace. But many, if not every one of these ones I'm talking, Daniel, look at the life of Daniel. He came from exile to become second in command to not one king, but successive line of kings. But there was something. Do you think Daniel would have been where he was as a mediocrity? No, it's not possible. So there's something that God has put in each and every one of us that he wants us to develop. There's got something that God has put in every one of us that by grace, the world can see that there is a God. By your excellent nature, by the beauty that you bring forth. If God has put into you the talent for music, make it for the glory of God. If God has put into you the talent of making something, you know, some of our sisters here, when they decorate this place, you come into it, you say, ah, wow. You do it for the glory of God. Do not live a life where you are regretting each day. God has put something into each of you that is meant to reflect his glory upon this earth. That everybody that comes into contact with you would know that, yes, there's something different about this person. And not only in, you know, I've talked about material things. I've talked about career. Even in relationship, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What God was in the world doing was reconciling men unto himself, women unto himself, those who have fallen into sin. God was reconciling them back to himself. Joseph, as hard as it was for him to forgive his brothers, he did and reconciled himself to his brothers. God wants us in our relationships to also exhibit his glory, his majesty, his beauty. You know, I said I've read biographies about rich people. Another thing I realized about the biography of, you know, a lot of the richest people on earth is that in their life, they always sacrifice something for the wealth they have. It's either their health or their families. But God wants us to come to a place where with that excellence, if you don't forget God, believe me, you see where God wants you to be in excellence, and him blessing you with material wealth, he will also allow you to flourish in relationships with those around you. Because many of these people I'm talking about, they live, when you are young, you don't know anything different. Everything is going fine. When you begin to get to places where Brother Shegwa and I are today, you will know that life, see Gramanet there, without people around you, life can be very, very lonely. I don't know whether I've seen old people, when you go visit them, they don't want you to leave. They don't want you to leave. You know why? It's because God has created us for relationship. There are times when relationships will go sour, but it's the glory of God that will reconcile those relationships to the beauty that God wants us to be. It is then that we can say, what God intends, we are created for his glory, to become reflectors of his glory, his majesty, his beauty. The Hebrew word for that word glory, it can also be translated weighty or heavy. In my local language, you see, when you treasure a relationship, you see the person is heavy in your hand. That is the word we use for it. You see, the person is heavy in your hand. It's that you treasure, you cherish that thing. The heaviest person in our hand is the God we serve. Because you cannot reflect the glory of somebody you are not aligned with closely. Moses went up to the mountain. And when he came down from the mountain, the people that he saw wanted him to cover his face. Why? Because the glory of God he met with was shining, that they could not stand it. They wanted him to cover. When we get close to God, in our relationship with God, when God becomes heavy in our hand, because the thing that is heavy in your hand, you cannot lose easily. When God becomes heavy in our hand, the things that we are talking about today, it will be reflected. Because he will convict us when we are lazy. He will convict us when we grumble. He will convict us when we, you know, the Bible says that God will cause the hand of the diligent to what? To prosper, to get wealth. He will convict us when we are not diligent in what we do. I don't know if you've ever been working, you know how you get on the computer to do work. And you're looking at the time. And God will just say to you, are you doing that work for me or for your boss? The Bible is laughing. You've experienced it. God will ask, who are you working for? Are you working for me or for your boss? Because if you're working for me, you can't be looking at time. You will do everything within you to say, God, what I am doing is for your glory. The work I am doing is for your glory. And when you begin to change your mindsets to, rather than please people, you want to please God in all you do. Whether if you are cooking at home, you are cooking for the glory of God. You say, God, I want you to smell this. When you are, anything you are doing, when it's for the glory of God, believe me, people will begin to see you differently. Because then, you will become the reflector of the glory of God. Then you will not be on earth just to be in time and space, and that is all. No, that is not what God has created us for. At the end of time, God wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. What's the next verse after that? What does it say? Sorry? You have been faithful. Then enter into the rest of your master, Abi, into the joy of your Lord. You have been faithful. You have been to whom? To God. You have been faithful. He has put us here for a reason. Let us think about these things. Think about these things and ask ourselves, Lord, this is another day you have given me. It's by your grace that I'm alive. Am I reflecting your glory before the world today? In all that you have blessed me with, I have a job. I have this, am I reflecting your glory in the world today? Would anybody see me and say, wow, this person is different. This person is different. May that be our joy. Let me close with this. I'll read it. We are created to bring glory to him, to honor him, to praise his glorious name, to thank him for his abundance in our life, and to praise him for his abundant grace. The riches of his love, his splendor and majesty, and a God who is righteous and just and having power in his name, that we may come to him in reverence and awe. This is the very purpose of man, to glorify God in every way. To glorify God in every way. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you once again that as we have gathered, you have a word for each and every one of us. You have not created us just to fill time and space. You have created us that our lives will have meaning. That as we grow older in years, we will not become emptier in our contributions to the existence of man. And these we have learned again this morning, and pray, Lord, that by your grace, you will help us once again to change our mindset in how we live, our pursuits, our relationships, our faith in you, that we will be mindful of living to please you by reflecting your glory upon the earth, living to please you, that because of what men see of us, praise and glory might come unto you. This is what you have created us for, and we pray, O Lord, that you will help us be faithful to this, we pray. That in reconciling men back unto you, people who are dead in the things of the Spirit, relationships that have gone sour, bringing people back to the knowledge of Christ, that we might be faithful in this, being diligent to everything our hands find doing, that we might be faithful in this. Lord, help us to live for you. You bless those who draw near unto you. You bless them in every way. You have not promised us a life that is free of trouble. But one thing we know, in those times of trouble, you are with us. You've blessed us with houses to live in, with more rooms than we can occupy. You've blessed us with food on our tables, with more food than we can eat. You've blessed us with clothes in our closets, with more clothes than we can wear, with more shoes than we can wear. Lord, we thank you for all these things, but we pray also that in knowing this abundance of grace, we might be faithful to making you heavy in our hands. Lord, help us, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.